I'm Red Scott.
I'm Katie Kirsten.
And this is Pilot Fight. Every week we compare two shows head-to-head and pick a winner in our search for the next great TV show. This is our first actual episode, and we are here to discuss two shows which we have chosen, which we are ready to defend. I have chosen Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
Is that what you chose?
Yeah, it is. There's an agency. Who knows what they do?
Nice. See, this is the problem when you make your show title so long. This is what happens.
Yes.
Dirk.
And what have you chosen?
I chose something much easier to say. Flublog. I chose Fleabag.
I believe it's pronounced Fleabag.
Fleabagé.
So what we're going to discuss, I'm going to introduce the show that I have chosen. And we'll go through what we like and dislike about that. We'll go through the show that Katie has chosen as same. And we have a rubric at the end, which we will introduce you to try and pick apart which show we think deserves to move on to the next round.
Absolutely.
So first off, let's talk about Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. So this show is based on the books written by Douglas Adams in the mid-80s after the more well-known Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I'd always meant to read them. I haven't, and I'm excited they're being made into a TV show. Also, there's an interesting tone to Douglas Adams' writing that I feel has never been translated very well into visual media, and I just always wanted to see that done well. And so, any chance of that, I'm going to jump on.
Absolutely.
So it's created by Max Landis, who had previously written the films Chronicle, American Ultra, and Victor Frankenstein, films that all have the similar feature that I have not watched them.
I haven't seen those either, and what an interesting group that is.
Yeah.
To then follow up with this Dirk Gently.
It's produced by BBC America, so it is an American show, where you can see it in the U.S., and if you're international, which I don't know if that's outside of North America, outside of the United States. I don't know where they draw the line at America, but you can see
it. It might be
that,
California at this point.
It might be. You can see it on Netflix internationally. And so that's my background on the show. So the show's introduced just to, I'm not going to go through it scene by scene, but to introduce you, we're introduced to Todd, who's played by Elijah Wood.
Fantastic. Love seeing him again.
I love seeing him all the time.
Yes.
He's woken from sleep in a very shit life. He's a lobby boy, bellboy. I'm not sure what the term is.
He is a straight up bellboy. Look at that hat.
He has a very angry landlord who is beating the shit out of his car, a 93 Civic, with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And can we say, first off, that is a classic automobile. That is, the 93 Honda Civic hatchback is one of our nation's great imports.
It's true. But to be fair, a hammer is a classic tool. And head-to-head, one of those is going to win.
One of them is going to win. Full disclosure, I did drive a 93 Civic up until 2010. Hatchback.
That is quite a car life.
Also in red. A different shade of red.
Oh, very nice. So this really like touched a spot for you, huh?
Oh, yeah. Close to home immediately. Like striking all the heartstrings.
Yeah.
So what do I like about this show? I like Elijah Wood and the cast in general.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the connection is, but several of the minor parts are actors who appeared on The West Wing.
Interesting.
So Richard Schiff is there, who played Toby on The West Wing. I don't know if you're familiar with that show at all.
I am not.
Toby, who's one of my all-time favorite fictional characters. There's one of the military agents whose name we do not get in the episode, was also on an episode of West Wing that I happen to have rewatched a week ago. So I suspect there's some like casting director or relationship there.
Right.
But speaking more widely, pretty much all of the actors are great. I loved all of their performances. The one that I had a little bit of struggle with was Samuel Barnett, who plays the Dirk Gently, the detective.
Interesting.
Who I felt was a little bit off in the beginning. And I also like the certain types of absurdism that exist in this episode, mm-hmm. which are the hallmarks of Douglas Adams. The idea of a holistic individual being one who basically just rambles through life and does whatever they want.
It's your dream.
It's literally, so their idea of holistic is that he words it very differently. But it's basically that by thinking about something, you have involved yourself in solving it. And,
right.
And basically your life is moving forward towards that solution at all times. And so Dirk Gently is a holistic detective. There's also a character I didn't realize existed that I love, the holistic assassin.
Oh my God, how great was she?
She is wonderful. The holistic assassin is just like, I just keep killing people until I've killed the person I'm supposed
right.
to.
I've never killed the wrong person.
She is absolutely wonderful. I like the corgi that keeps appearing.
Oh, man, talk about tugging at heartstrings.
Yeah.
What was happening?
Yeah, like in some television shows, you'll see like you keep glimpsing somebody out of the corner of your eye and you're like, that thing's going to pay off later. And mm-hmm. they had that in this episode, except it was a corgi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that fuzzy butt. I was dying.
And this, I struggled to... I feel like there is a feeling of comedic violence that is used that I like a lot and can be done very well, but is much harder to do in a live action movie, I feel, than something like Archer, which I feel like does it the best.
Right.
Because they're cartoons. You are less horrified, hopefully.
Right.
And it's easier to get away with. But I feel like they do something very original here where there's like early on, there's a murder scene. And there's just like, you know, people are just cut in half. There's bite marks on the ceiling. Clearly
right.
somebody was walking on their hands while their hands were covered in blood.
Yes, there's so much blood.
And it was simultaneously grotesque, but just absurd. Like there's no rational thing you could come up with that would explain any of this scene.
No, it was, as they said, quite strange.
It was quite strange.
Yes.
At one point he sees... Elijah Wood's character, Todd, sees himself in a fur coat as an elevator opens.
Oh, man. I would love to have had a picture of the two Elijahs in those two costumes together.
Yeah, because
that's
they both...
That's a calendar I would have.
The 12 months of Elijah?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Bellboy and... He basically looked like Eric Cash.
He did look like Eric Cash, who is a reference everybody listening to this will get.
Yes. You'll all understand that. But... that sort of rock and roll fur coat was the perfect juxtaposition to the bellboy uniform.
I also love, and now this is a very, I feel like a small thing in the scope of the episode. It's not a make or break thing, but it struck me how often this is done poorly. And we might, or maybe not poorly, just not based on my reality experience with siblings. His relationship with his sister... Todd's sister, Amanda, seems
yes.
very easy and genuine in a way that sibling relationships are often not portrayed.
Right.
Because a lot of times, especially if it's a dramatic TV show, there needs for the sibling to even be introduced, there needs to be a huge amount of tension there. And so they're usually fighting or they represent the opposite of what this character has done with their life. Or they're essentially twins who have the same thoughts. You know,
right.
Whereas that they had a like there was just a thing where they like, you know, obviously Dirk Gently in that scene has basically forced himself into this relationship. But just the way they sort of seamlessly like were like, we're over here. You're over there. Like we are comfortable. We are family. You are a psychopath. Just seemed very sibling like to me, or it's the type of sibling relationship that I don't see often on TV. And I really enjoyed that a lot in a way that I wasn't expecting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. Being an only child, I have no reference point for that. I'm always the weirdo sitting on the couch. but it, yes, I think specifically in their relationship, things were clarified toward the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of what's happening in that particular relationship is guilt-driven.
Yes, certainly.
So I think there's sort of a peacefulness that maybe he's also trying to create because he's laden with guilt.
Right. I'll agree with that. I mean, there certainly is a tension there. It's of a different tone than I'm used to.
Right.
Though.
But so, I enjoyed her a lot as well. I'm with you. The casting was great.
Yeah, casting was great front to back. Great performances, great production values too. So some things that weren't as on the spot. In Douglas Adams' writing, there's a common focus on futility, like focusing on bureaucracy and just how out of control you are in your own life. But usually that's fodder for comedy. And at times this episode, I felt it strayed into the Kafkaesque, where it was just more painful to watch, like just how, and maybe part of it's just Elijah Wood's weepy eyes. Maybe it's just moving a Dirk Gently book into the Americas. You know, that's just not how it. Maybe it's an inherently British tone,
right?
Because I should mention, all of the actors are American except for, or at least, excuse me, they play American characters at least, all except for except for Dirk Gently.
Right.
Adams is about keeping everything light, even and especially when you're about to get tortured and then murdered by a group with unusually bad poetry. This show crossed that line sometimes where it just felt uncomfortable, and I didn't quite buy into that. And which is, you know, it can be different from the books, and maybe that's what they're going for. But it didn't ring true. And so similarly, I guess all of my problems are just tonal. So Dirk, especially when he's first introduced as an individual, is so different from the world in which he inhabits. It doesn't read as, a charming distance from reality. It comes across to me more as just an insane person who is a real and true bummer to have around.
That is one read, yeah.
At his best, he reminds me of the character like Nathan in Misfits, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, a character that I did hate initially and came to love, but was just very irritating initially. And, you know, by the nature of this show, we're only talking about first episodes.
Right.
What are we going to do?
What can you do? Pilots are pilots.
So I feel like I've been talking a lot. I have some favorite scenes. What are your thoughts on this episode?
Well, I have to say, you brought this to my attention, the show, and I'm really glad that you did. I believe that I have read at least one of the Dirk Gently books, but it was so long ago that I obviously don't remember that I read it, much less specifics about it. But I need to look back through my Kindle purchases over the last 15 years and see if there's something in there. But needless to say, I really enjoyed the episode. I find that, I'm a big fan of episodic mysteries.
Uh-huh.
In that it starts with a mystery, and 60 minutes later, it has been solved.
Right.
So this was particularly challenging to my sensibilities because everything is just a mystery. From the get-go all the way through the end, absolutely nothing gets resolved, which, you know, goes along with the whole sense of the holistic element in that you're just sort of in it now. So I appreciate that about the show, but it's also wildly frustrating to watch. I should say, having only seen one episode, but I'm assuming that was time travel that they were introducing with Elijah in the hallway.
Right. So Elijah sees himself, and so that is clearly either time travel or, you know, evil twin or clone. I don't think in this universe you can rule anything out. Time travel seems like the most likely aspect. Right.
Because him in the hallway says something along the lines of, oh, this is now, or, you know, this is happening right now, or something.
Right, yeah.
And then turns and sees. Anyway, I thought it was a beautiful intro to something like that.
Yeah, that is. You're right. I hadn't written down that quote, but that's exactly what it was, and you're right. It's definitely time travel, and that is a great introduction.
Right. I feel like normally it's introduced somehow that isn't, like, smack in the middle of it, so I just really enjoyed that. Also, one thing that I laughed a lot about was, this might not stand out to you, but definitely rewatch this moment. When the cops first arrive on the scene,
uh-huh.
They're playing some sort of cop music that seems to also involve a cat meowing and a dog barking. And it is amazing. But yeah, I loved the level of absurdity. I didn't personally find anything uncomfortable necessarily or too... but I'll just leave it at uncomfortable. Like I wasn't getting that vibe from it so much, but I loved how, the sort of the elements with the eyebrows, mm-hmm. like kind of the one cop really knowing how to use his eyebrows and the other one being like eyebrows so that he would make the eyebrow. I thought like that, cause it's so ridiculous, but it's also so normal life.
Yes.
And I loved all of that about it.
And also, so that actor with the eyebrows is Richard Schiff, who played Toby. And
oh, there we go. Okay.
And if you do appreciate his eyebrow acting, West Wing is just a great place for you to be.
I will go watch it right now.
Also, it was, you know, when did that show start airing? 16 years ago. So his eyebrows are much darker, so they have even more of an effect.
They really stand on their own at that point, huh?
Right. They really are the lead actors at that point. They're the
right. Well, you sold me. I'm going to go watch it.
So some favorite scenes. The holistic assassin.
Yes.
Where she's introduced. There's a hacker who's just being yelled at by some huge skinhead. She shows up. She's limping like she's a member of, like she's a zombie or something. Like she just has a weird gait to her. She's covered in blood. She has never showered in her adult life.
Never.
And she just walks up and straight murders this dude. And then is the absurdity of him just chasing this hacker who has no idea what's going on.
Right.
And I like their relationship immediately. I like the idea of the holistic assassin, which is like, it's so charming in the detective, but in the assassin, it's, the absurdity is just right there on the nose.
Absolutely.
And you get some of the, with her, you get more of the... Like, she just pulls into a gas station where a murder has already been taken place, and she kills the murderer. And that's, according to the show, that's just intuition. Like, you see, in the Douglas Adams universes, the absurd premises are generally true. Like, these aren't crazy people. Or they are people who live in a world that have an absurd premise.
Right.
So the I would expect to see that the holistic... style actually does pay off in the end in a very most unexpected way.
Right. And it's interesting, sorry, that you say that, because my assumption was when they pulled up to that gas station that she was just kind of like swinging back around and she had actually already committed that murder.
So that was what I thought when I first saw that scene. But then the fact that, so there was the other guy in there was clearly in the process of robbing it. Would you agree with that?
Oh, see, that was not my take on it. Oh. My take was that he either worked there or whatever and came out. I guess why would he still be there if there had already been a murder by her earlier? But
right.
It just, I think because the violence is portrayed so vividly.
Yes.
That it felt like a non-standard murder.
Fair.
It felt like a holistic murder, if you will.
Fair enough.
So I didn't put two and two that guy was his own murderer.
Right.
A robber, whatever, you know. So that's interesting.
So yeah, I'm very, I don't know if this is a character that's going to be around. So I believe this series is 8 episodes long, or the season, depending on where you are from. But so I would expect by the end of the first season, we will get all these storylines sort of wrapping around, like much like an episode of, like if Snatch was stretched into an 8-hour long movie,
right?
We will get a reckoning of all of these storylines just coming crashing together.
It has to happen.
Yes.
I mean, we had to sit through not one, but two mini lectures during the show on what holistic means to the show. So And it really comes down to that everything's interconnected. So it, you know, absolutely, this has to all wrap up with every single element, you know, getting some sort of response.
And I just want to talk briefly about some scenes that I thought were very successful. Yes. There's two men from the military, a man in his 60s and a younger, very fit man in his early 30s. There's a first scene where he says, I've got a shot, should I take it? And he says, no, you shouldn't take the shot. And he shoots.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, they're in the van again, and he's like, I've got a shot. And you can see the guy turning around and addressing him. I thought we agreed that the rifle wouldn't be necessary. And their absurd conversation with this very trigger-happy, very dumb man in his 30 years old is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely hilarious. The interplay between them is just genuinely funny and the kind of thing I would expect from this universe.
Exactly. Absolutely. And just as a side note, I don't have his name in front of me, but the older gentleman of those two was the mayor in Medium.
Oh.
And he was fantastic in that. I loved every minute that he was on screen, and I'm so happy to see him again.
Yeah, good. Yeah, he's great. He's also the character who was in the West Wing episode that I just watched.
Of course he was.
So we both love him. Neither of us can name him.
Nope.
Character
Sorry,
actors.
Sorry, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a bunch of hints at the end of the episode that point us towards the future. The corgi's return to its owner. He sees the woman who's been kidnapped, which has been coming up through the episode. And she's acting erratically. I would say not panicked, but like she is a bird inhabiting a human's body.
Is she? Yeah, there was something.
Yeah.
There was something about her.
And so, I think, is there anything else you want to cover about the episode before we get into our grading rubric?
No, I think that was it. I mean, one of the things that I really liked about this, I would like to imagine that most of this came directly from the books, but there were a lot of lines, you know, and moments of dialogue that made me very happy. Mm-hmm. For instance, when the machete lady, you know, takes the hacker with her because he admits that he is not, in fact, supposed to be murdered. And she says, oh, I'm so glad you decided to come with me. And he's like, well, it was that or you were going to kill me. And she said, but you decided you'd rather come with me than die. That was nice.
Similarly, there's a moment where these just weird nihilist guys show up out of nowhere in like the mystery
Rowdy 3.
The mystery van on meth. And they get out of the van and the van says the Rowdy 3 on the side. Dirk says to Todd, it's the Rowdy 3. And Todd says, there are four of them. And he's like, I'm well aware. Like, this is something that has been tearing at him for a long time.
Forever. Yeah. As long as these D-bags have been chasing him.
God, I love that.
Also, there was with the in that conversation that you liked with the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what he was trying to say, but he flubbed his words. Do you remember that?
No,
and then
I forgot.
He explains by saying the gum went weird in my mouth.
Yes. Yes, I did like that a lot.
I need to read the book again. I hope those are all Douglas Adams moments. If not, wonderful job on the writing. I just thought that the dialogue in general was extremely charming.
Right. And so let's get into, so we've established four questions for a grading rubric. And listen, everybody loves a good rubric talk. We could talk about this forever, but let's just let's just get into the questions. Okay, so Katie, would you watch the next episode?
100%. I feel like not only would I watch the next one, I feel already committed to the entire series because I will not get answers otherwise.
Agreed. I like Douglas Adams. I feel like this wasn't a home run, but I saw so many things that I enjoyed. I'm generally curious about the world and how it will fit together. Not in like a Lost or Westworld where I'm obsessed. It's just it's an interesting part of the show. Would you post about this show on Twitter?
Yes, but only if they have a really condensed version, because otherwise the title will be in my entire tweet.
I imagine that the hashtag is much shorter. Or, sorry,
I would hope so.
Or at least
I would absolutely put a little, you should check out Dirk Gently's blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, for me, it's actually a little more complex than that, because I feel like this is I'm definitely watching the next episode, but unless somebody I know is already interested in Douglas Adams, I'm not going to be like, hey, this is the thing you should check out. I'm a little more reserved on it as far as like, I feel like, and maybe it's because we're coming from different places, but I feel like this is the kind of show that should be perfect for me.
And interesting.
Because it's not already, I feel like I don't want to like push it out into the world yet.
Curious. I mean, shows really should only be perfect for you.
Yes.
I agree.
Is there anyone you'd recommend this show to?
Yes, although there are a couple specific people I would recommend this to, but mostly I feel like I would be compelled to recommend this to anyone I know who already likes kind of mystery shows. So my friends who watch Elementary.
Oh, right.
Or things like that. Obviously Douglas Adams fans, but they would know about it.
Yes.
But somebody who I know is watching sort of the more, especially because Elementary, which I could just talk about forever, veers occasionally because of Sherlock into absurd moments. I would feel comfortable kind of overlapping these a little bit.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. So yeah, obviously Douglas Adams fans, I think should check this out. And just people who like sort of out there. It's interesting that you said friends who like mysteries. I would angle more towards friends who like sort of out there comedies would be the where I would suggest this.
Interesting. I said I didn't find it to have enough maybe laugh points.
Yeah,
So
and then could you see yourself rewatching this episode?
Yes.
Interesting.
I could see myself rewatching it. If I liked the series, I honestly could probably see if I had like a sick day chilling out with it because it's not too long.
That's fascinating. So I actually put no. I could not see myself rewatching this episode at this point. It did enough to make me want to watch the next episode, but mm-hmm. I felt like it just didn't feel like it fit together well enough that it wasn't satisfying by itself. Like it's not
interesting.
Something,
okay.
So yeah, I'm surprised we came out on different sides of this.
I too am surprised.
All right.
The things we're learning.
Yes. And so are you ready to move on to the next show?
I am ready. So I will do a little intro on this as it was my choice. The show I chose for our first episode is Fleabag, which you can currently see all 6 episodes on Amazon with a Prime account.
Okay.
It internationally can be seen on BBC 3, which is their digital channel.
Oh, we both chose BBC related shows.
Yes, we did. We like accents. I like them more obviously because all of my people have an accent. So it premiered in the UK July 21st of this year. It premiered for us in the US on September 16th. And one of the things that I love about this, it's made by a fairly newish production company. I think they started in 2014 called Two Brothers Pictures.
Okay.
And they've got an interesting list of other things they've created. A couple of comedies called Fried and Tripped. They really don't like things that are more than one word. It's very annoying.
Fried and Tripped. And this is their most syllables they've had yet.
Right, right. Well, just keep your hat on. They did make a couple thrillers, The Missing and One of Us. So those are the 5 shows that they've made. And I just find it so interesting that they either want to laugh or they want to kind of scare the pants off of you.
Yeah, those are, and it is interesting that The Missing, One of Us, like they're like comedies need to be one word and mm-hmm. then thrillers need to have 3 syllables.
You really need to get the point across more.
So it's interesting that Fleabag is halfway in between those two. It's got
it's
2
true.
Syllables.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, if you were, say, like a straight man dating, Fleabag might scare the crap out of you.
Indeed.
So to wrap this up, so Phoebe Waller-Bridge is the writer. Mm-hmm. She is the star of this show. And what I find particularly fascinating and lovable about this situation is that she took this concept and this character, Fleabag, to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2013. And performed it as a one-woman play. And the even more interesting fact is that the reason this character even exists is because her friend invited her to come take part in a comedy, like stand-up storytelling show, and was challenged to make a 10-minute sketch based on a character.
Oh.
So this all came from some friend being like, come to my stupid show. And she was like, cool, as long as I can get an Amazon, show out of this in the end, I'll do it. Which and it truly, really worked out for her.
Yeah, which truly is a thing that happens all the time. And usually those type of shows don't go well.
Right.
Yeah.
Not in the least. So it's very exciting to me. And I really enjoyed this show very much. Full disclosure, I have watched all 6 episodes.
Oh, interesting.
So I will do my best to limit everything I have to say to only the pilot. I did just rewatch it. And but clearly it sold me on the series. So I should start with that. but it was interesting because it took me two times sitting down to watch the pilot.
Initially?
The original. I had had this recommended to me by several friends, and I sat down to watch the first episode and got about 5 minutes in, and I was like, oh, God, another single woman talking about dating. Like, it's not that I don't remember those days. It's not that long ago, but I'm just kind of like, you know, another 20-something dating or early 30s. Do I need to sit through this shit? And then after the 700th person told me specifically that I needed to specifically watch it, I sat down and did and loved it. I'm with you sort of with your review of Dirk in that the pilot in particular is not a home run. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I hadn't had so many recommendations, if I would have continued, although I do find her character very, very engaging from the get-go.
I have to say I'm shocked that you... I found... well, here's the thing. Maybe what we're running into here is we're both focusing... We're having each other look at a show that's not a genre that they would normally engage with.
Right. Well, right.
Because I found this pilot... incredibly charming, and like I thought it was a very excellent episode of television top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And was incredibly impressed. I mean, I'm a huge House of Cards fan, and just the intro of her talking to the audience directly, mm-hmm. I was completely on board just initially. And so I'm surprised to hear you having more reservations about the pilot than I did.
Yeah, it was interesting. And it's given my love for it now after the entire series, it's funny looking back to me like I was such an idiot, which I said as I looked directly into the camera. But yeah, it's just, again, this is the problem with pilots. And this is the problem with so many shows coming out all the time, right?
Yes.
Because really, if it doesn't, I don't even wait a full episode, much less I used to have a rule that I would give something 3 episodes if I was really intrigued by it.
Right.
And then that got scaled back to 1 episode. And now I'm like, okay, if this doesn't do something in 5 to 10 minutes, that's it.
Yes.
So it's we're just flooded with entertainment.
Yes.
But again, on rewatch, especially on rewatching it, but even on watching the full episode the first time, it really, it spoke to me. And one of the things that I think I loved about it was her relationship that you just see the very beginning of with her sister, Claire. And, I'm bringing up that I'm an only child, which just makes me sound so pathetic. But I love seeing, you know, familial relationships on screen, specifically siblings, because I don't have any reference point to that. But I feel like if I had a sibling, we would be those sisters.
They do something. They were great on camera together. They mm-hmm. have a great relationship. They do hit one of the tropes that always bugs me, where they're basically the exact same person, and it almost feels like a Tyler Durden situation where it's two parts of the same psych talking to each other.
The one rule of I can't even say it if we're not swearing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The one rule of Fight Club is we don't talk about Fight Club. Is that what it was?
Yeah, but I was going to go with their version, which is more about screwing than fighting.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. They do have a lot of similarities.
Sure.
Absolutely. But I also have witnessed two friends of mine are in fact twins. And while they're certainly not the exact same person, I think if you only saw them for a few minutes, you would be like, they are the same person.
Right.
Just for that brief period of time.
And it's so frustrating too, because it's that thing that, and this is a real thing, the relationship you can only have with family where everybody external's like, you hate each other because you behave in the exact same way. But when you're internal to that relationship, you know, it mm-hmm. doesn't feel like that. It feels like there's very specific wrongs that those person has done that has resulted in the way you behave right now.
Oh, absolutely. And they're all sitting right on the surface.
Oh, they're just, it's so transparent to everyone else.
Right.
I really like the opening scene. Like you said, it has to hook you immediately. I felt like it did that. The opening scene is such a perfect, hilarious, succinct introduction to the character.
Absolutely.
And the world. Like, you were... It is to put it very lightly, body.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's body.
But it's not a misrepresentation. It's not a like. I could see an introduction like that being a bad introduction because it doesn't match the tone of the show. And I was surprised to see that it perfectly matches the tone of the show.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they couldn't have done a better job introducing that character. I think my problem with the very opening scene was just that there was a little bit too much camera talking.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. That's one of those things that I have found that people find very polarizing just in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, for whatever reason, I've just never had a problem with it. I find it like some people really, I think some people are, you can tell me if this is true with you. I'm not necessarily putting this on you, but sure. Like feel very self-conscious being made to realize that they know there's someone watching them in a, like a very visceral way. Like I think it
sort of,
it doesn't leave them for the rest of the episode.
Some voyeurism is. I don't feel like that's my experience. And I love, like you mentioned, House of Cards earlier.
Right.
But he so rarely directs to the camera. And it's not a fourth wall thing. Like, I don't care about that. I think for the opening of this, it's just that it was virtually every other line.
Yes. There was a lot of it.
You really don't experience the rest of the episode quite like that. So I think had I sat through the full episode the first time around, I would have not necessarily even remembered that element. Right. But being that I went through it three times now, I was like, oh, I think that's what kind of turned me off. But again, like by the episode's end, she's not doing that nearly as frequently because she's not setting up, you know, the very first moment.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, one of the things that's, and we're going to run into this a lot of times, it's very hard to have a comedy pilot because you need to care about the characters usually before you find or at least understand where the characters are coming from before the situation can be funny. You need to you need to have an understanding of the truth that's grounding you before you can play off of that and have a joke that really hits home.
So right.
It's very hard to do that. If you give too much backstory, it doesn't seem like a comedy.
Right.
If you... you know, if you do too many jokes without establishing the characters, the jokes are more likely to not work. So it's hard to find that balance. I think comedy pilots are much harder to do than dramatic ones.
Oh, at 100%. Absolutely. And I think that this overall was done brilliantly.
This is one of the best comedy pilots I've ever seen. If you enjoy the tone of it, so many specific jokes work very well.
Right.
But like just moments like, and a lot of them are performance based too. I have to give the director a lot of credit. Like her boyfriend, while breaking up with her with tears in his eyes saying, I'm taking the posh shampoo.
Oh my God. And just the fact that that guy was cast, he's so amazing looking. Like, oh my God. Yeah, I can't get enough of him. I cannot think of his name right now, but Harry, was that his name?
I hope it was.
I hope it was too. Yes, I'm so glad because that shampoo line kills me.
Yes.
It's so perfect.
Just the scene where she's trying to get a business loan and she's so hot and she takes off her sweater forgetting that she's not wearing a top underneath it.
Yes.
That's brilliant and it plays perfectly. Like the performances, that could have been over the top like a silly thing that just didn't seem realistic. And like in that moment, you're like, oh, that's a thing that has happened.
Can I tell you that that is a thing that has happened to me?
What was the situation?
Well, fortunately, I was wearing this like disgusting kind of like ratty tank top. So right. I wasn't just, you know, just wearing a bra, but I was going to a big work meeting. And that morning, my car had been towed out of a snow zone in Chicago.
Oh, no.
Which is memorable, not only because of my almost flashing my office, but because it was 72 degrees outside.
What?
So the thing is, once you hit winter in Chicago, there are snow zones that are permanent regardless of the weather. You just can't park. And of course, parking in Chicago is like a nightmare, like any other big city. This was the day after the snow zone went into effect. I wake up. I'm getting ready for work. I go downstairs. My car is gone. All this crap happens. I didn't realize it was going to be almost, you know, 75 degrees outside. So I take my sweater off and then I end up putting my coat on. And when I get to work, I just take my coat off, not thinking. And it's at a meeting and I'm wearing basically a see-through shirt over a bra. And I, you know, when you're not thinking about it. And men never have to think about it because nobody puts on not a shirt.
Yeah.
And then a coat or, you know.
Certainly.
So it was a very visceral moment for me watching that.
That might have been more disturbing than hilarious.
I loved it. I was just like, yeah, see, it's not just me. Like this happens. But what really spoke to me, honestly, was... I don't know if it's too early to get to the end of the show, but I felt like the end of the show is what sold me on everything because...
Remind me how it ends.
Well, so there's just a couple moments, but one thing is she shows up at her dad's.
Right.
And she proceeds to... Because up until this moment, like, you know that her mother is gone.
Right.
And I love that her dad's response to that is sending his daughters to feminist lectures. Like, how brilliant is that? So you know her mom is gone. So there's obviously a level of loss in her life. But mostly it's sort of just her acting just kind of out through the episode. And there's not a real sense of why she is this way. But when she shows up at her dad's door and gives him this litany of problems she thinks she has, and she's drunk and she's genuine and she's clearly very distraught, and he looks at her and says, "You got all that from your mother." I was like, oh my God, she's so fucked up. Like, she's so fucked up. And I feel that. And I get how that you deal with that through humor or whatever you need to do. Her sort of, you know, flippant take on everything going on in life. But then as she has the conversation with her dad's wife, the statue becomes part of their interaction, that little gold statue.
Certainly.
And then when she's in the car and she reveals that, and then that fucking she reveals that she has stolen the statue. And then just that look, that very last look at the camera, I was like, I love you. I just, that was the moment when I'm like, this is it. Because she, you know, she's in pain. She's dealing with so much that's so heavy, but she's still just fucking, she's going to do her, if you will. And I loved it. I loved that moment. Oh, and sorry, in the cab, she also reveals the boo story.
Yes.
And that's when you're like, oh my God, so you find out her mom, you discover her dad is kind of just a emotional moron. And then you find out that Boo is dead. And then she still makes that look at the end of the camera at the end. I was like, oh, for God's sake.
Right. Man. So we should have said, so her friend who we've been seeing, what we now realize are flashbacks all through the episode.
Right.
She started a cafe with her friend. The cafe is doing poorly. And a lot of these interactions are like very, they're not like glamorized look backs. Like they're like interesting moments in their past.
Exactly. Just a quick weird memory that you get.
And yeah. And it really makes that friendship seem so much more real than some idealized friends, the TV show like friendship.
Right. Chandler Bong did not make a single appearance in this.
Not once. And I think, I mean, do you have any bigger things? I'll just say, so any of my things I'm less enthused about, very minor complaints. I thought this was an extremely strong pilot. I don't know what it says about me, but I've noticed that every show where, I don't know if this is, this might be purposefully saying something about the character. When she says she thinks her sister's way more attractive than she is, I've seen this come up in several shows, and I always disagree with them. Is it supposed to just be about her insecurity?
Or, oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because
I mean, as a woman, not that I have a sister. Let me mention that again. I'm an only child. But no, I absolutely. And I think the other thing is you, at a certain point, if you're reasonably civilized, you're going to reference your sibling as they're more attractive, because otherwise you look like a self-serving D-bag. So maybe that also just gets into your psyche at some point.
Gotcha. Interesting. And so the, yeah, so that's a very, very, very minor thing that I've just seen it happen so often that I'm confused by it. And the tone, the shift between comedy and serious, I feel like is actually, I don't know why I wrote this down. You know what? In retrospect, I think it was handled very well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah. So that's a compliment, sorry. Not a complaint.
Good. You can direct all your compliments and complaints here. Yes, I think that my kind of biggest complaint would have been just that, like, to me, a little bit too much of the talking into the camera at the very beginning. But it's so minor, and looking back, I just don't care that much. I just know that it had bothered me. And I mean, I really, it's so, such an amazing piece to me overall.
So let's get into it.
All right.
Would you watch the next episode of Fleabag?
Yes.
All right. I also would watch the next episode of Fleabag. It was extremely well executed. It's funny. Why not? Would you post about it on Twitter?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I don't even know if I have yet, but I should have if I didn't.
Right. This is what I not only agree with that, like, I feel like this pilot is so good, I feel like it reflects well on me as a human being that I'm distributing this. I feel like people are going to trust my choice more in the future just based on this recommendation.
Absolutely. Which, don't forget to tell them I made you watch it.
Yes. Is there... I feel like we're going the same way. Is there anyone you can think of that you would recommend the show to?
Oh, man, there's so many people, although it's kind of weird because so many people recommended it to me. It really narrows the list. But I, in fact, just told a friend of mine, Patrick, that he and his fiance need to watch this. And he's like, what's it about? I'm like, don't shut up. Just watch it. Like, there's no reason to ask me questions. Just watch it.
Yeah.
So Patrick and Jasmine, you better be watching this.
Right. I feel like I would definitely recommend this to my friend Kelly Anakin. I feel like this is her type of show. And anybody who likes shows about messy relationships, anybody who likes comedies and very real characters, excellent. And could you see yourself rewatching this episode?
Yes, I guarantee you I will be rewatching this episode and this series.
Man, I feel like this, I added this, could you see yourself rewatching this episode? And I feel like we have very different criteria for that. I feel like this is a very, I'm not sure if it's revealing what I thought it was. So I like this episode a lot. If I could see rewatching this series if it ends up being very, very good. But I'm more interested in seeing where this character goes going forward. And it's, yeah, I don't think, I mean, I guess it's a maybe. I don't know. I couldn't see myself, even though it was a very successful episode, I still viewed it more as a pilot where it's introducing me to a world that I feel like is going to be better in the next episode. I don't see myself rewatching this before then.
I think that's fair. I mean, I guess to clarify, I wouldn't see myself rewatching this episode as a standalone.
Right.
But if I wanted to revisit the world in general,
sure,
I would start with this episode. There's nothing about, it's not like such a, you know, some shows where the pilot's so crappy, it's like, right, let's pretend like that didn't happen and right, move on. I would watch all six together.
Going back to Mike Schur, Parks and Rec, the first season, we don't need to talk about that.
Right. Sometimes you just need to ignore that it happened.
Yeah. The fact that Andy was dating that other woman that was dating, spacing on her name, but we don't need to pretend that was a thing.
Right.
Okay. So one of these has to win.
It's That's true. One situation. Of them does has to win.
And I'd say going off of our question answers, it seems pretty obvious to me that Fleabag is the one that has to go forward.
I agree with you. I mean, just I think given my general enthusiasm for it and your medium enthusiasm for Dirk Gently.
Yes.
This seems to be a logical winner to me.
Yeah. I agree. And so how is this going to work? Are we going to talk about the pilot again the next episode?
That's a great question.
No. What's going to happen is we're going to talk in the second round. We will have the winner, Fleabag, going up against another winning show from the first round. And in both of those, we'll be covering the second episode of this show.
That is correct. And I look forward to it.
All right. And so that has been our first episode of Pilot Fight.
Yes. And what are we talking about on our next episode?
That's a good question. The next episode, we are talking about Atlanta with Donald Glover and Pitch. Star's name I don't know. I don't know why I mentioned Donald Glover. Atlanta and Pitch.
Love him.
Are those both FX shows? I think they might be.
Pitch is on Fox.
Which is similar.
It's just missing an O.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just added an O, I should say. But gotcha. Yeah, so we've got Red bringing Atlanta. And
correct.
I have submitted Pitch for next week.
Excellent. And so definitely we want to hear your feedback. What do you like? What would you like to see more of? You can follow us on Twitter and give us feedback at Pilot Fight. If you have feedback for us individually or just want to follow us, you can find Katie on Twitter at Wit Like a Girl. And you can find Red on Twitter at Red_Scott.